Welcome to Arcu Adventures FM.
My name's Genevieve Hathaway. I'm the director of Arcu Adventures as well as the founder. This is our travel tip series, and in this series, we bring you some great travel gurus and share with you some of their best travel tips on staying healthy on the road, best places in the Middle East and North Africa to visit, travel planning tips, and lots of other useful information to help you make the most of your travels. So today we are going to talk with Laura Dolch. She is a health and lifestyle coach to smart, dedicated women who crave practical tools for living a healthy and meaningful life. She's also a former entertainment marketing executive and a busy entrepreneur. Laura really understands the challenges of balancing good health with a crazy schedule and is passionate about helping women harness the power of good health to fuel their ambitious life goals through a practical whole life approach to health. Laura definitely knows her stuff. She's been traveling, living a busy lifestyle, and has figured out some really insightful and great ways to stay healthy both on the road and at home. And she's going to be sharing all of her great tips with us today, which what I love about Laura is that she's also very practical. Her ideas and suggestions are things that we can actually implement. They're not just pie-in-the-sky ideas, but they're small, practical steps that can make a big difference in your life, both traveling and at home. Many of the things we talk about today, I'm definitely going to be implementing in my own life for sure. So without anything to do, I'm going to introduce you to Laura Dolch, and we're going to talk about health and travel. Enjoy.
So I am Laura Dolch. I'm a health and lifestyle coach for smart women who have sort of lost their way. I help women sort of find their most vibrant, alive, and gorgeous self again, so that they can live the life that they really want, and instead of feeling tired and frazzled and, you know, having lost touch with that sort of vibrant person inside of them. That's what I do. I do that in a variety of ways, through personalized coaching programs. I'm actually working on a new one right now, and I also have an online coaching program, and most of the women who come to work with me are either entrepreneurs or executives. They're very busy, smart women, and they're awesome to work with.
And before we kind of dive into talking a lot about travel and how people can stay healthy and stress and all of those topics, in case someone wants to, you know, read more about the topics that you cover, or in case they want to check in, want to learn about your coaching sessions or the other programs you offer, what's your website? Where can they go? How can they learn more and learn how to hire you?
Yeah, but the best place to find me is definitely on my website, and that's just lauradolch.com. It's LARADALCH.com. And then also my Facebook page, which will come up if you type in my name. So, but my website is definitely the place to find all of that info.
Perfect. Well, before we dive into much of the tips, just give me the brief overview of how you kind of got into this field and started doing this kind of work.
Yeah, for sure. So I started my career in, originally in Seattle, but most of it I spent in New York City, working as a marketing executive for a number of different television networks, like Cartoon Network and Comedy Central were the two primary ones, and did that for a very, very long time and loved that career. And then at the end of 2008, when the market kind of tanked, I got laid off from a job and had some time and space to sort of think about what I wanted to do next, and had always been, had become very interested in fitness and, you know, eating and cooking and sort of the organic food movement, none of which I had ever been exposed to until I was in New York, and just became very interested in that because I stumbled upon it and started to feel better when I started to eat that way and when I started to change some of my habits. It was totally by happenstance, and I was like, oh, this is kind of great. I feel amazing. So when I got laid off from that job, I decided to kind of follow that interest, and I went back to school to study nutrition and health coaching, and I also got certified as a Pilates instructor. So that's the very short version of that, and then my business kind of grew out of that. But a lot of the work that I do with women comes out of my own experience. You know, again, I stumbled upon a lot of these ways of living, and just, you know, it felt kind of like magically I had, you know, a better life. Like, my career took off, you know, I had more energy. I just, I was out in the world and really engaged in the world in a way that I hadn't been before I started taking good care of my body. And I just wanted to be able to share that with other people, which is why I went back to school.
That's great. So I'm sure you've worked with, you've seen a lot of high-powered women, women who are on the road a lot, women who are traveling a lot. What kind of tips do you have you learned over the years that you've seen that have worked for women, you know, when they're on the road, when they're traveling, or even if they're just on holiday? How to stay fit, healthy, feel good when you're, you know, away from home?
Yeah, it's really, it's tricky. And I think one of the biggest things that I tell people is, you know, what are you doing before you leave? Because the better, the stronger that you are before you head out on the road, the more resilient your body is going to be you know, when it gets thrown a curveball, which inevitably happens. So that's really the first thing, is to sort of up your game before you even leave. So in the weeks leading up to a trip, you know, step up your self-care, eat what your body needs, you know, try to stick with your exercise, get enough sleep, and just be really good to yourself, you know, so that you can slip a little bit while you're traveling, because, you know, part of the fun of travel is eating new foods and not necessarily sticking to your regular regimen. That's part of the beauty of it. So that's definitely a big one. And then also, you know, just generally speaking, being prepared. Like, I certainly don't advocate, like, trying to control everything that you eat while you're traveling, because, again, part of the fun is exploring. But, you know, knowing that you have certain things with you, which I'm happy to share some specific things that I take with me, but knowing that you have some certain things with you, like healthy snacks and that sort of thing, to allow you to be a little more in control, is really helpful for a lot of people as well.
And so what things do you take with you to, as a follow-up question, to stay healthy, for snacks, to kind of, you know, maintain that, or, you know, as a healthy alternative when you're on the road? What are some of your little tricks and tips that you take with you, or things?
One of my favorite things, actually, is, so there's this, it's a greens powder. And the brand is called Amazing Grass, and they make one, it's a chocolate greens powder, because to be perfectly honest with you, like, greens powders typically taste like swamp water. They're terrible. But, like, I'm obsessed with eating, you know, dark leafy greens every day, and it's one of the first things I get new clients to do, because believe it or not, that one thing changes, like, everything. And so when I'm on the road and I'm not entirely sure I'm going to be able to get fresh greens, which of course would be preferred, I use this greens powder that you can just mix up with, even just with water. Like, I mean, it's better, like, mixed with almond milk or something, but you can just mix it up with water and just drink that. And so that's one thing I always have with me. And then healthy snacks, like, you know, portable snacks like fruit and nut bars. My favorite, and don't laugh, but is Lara bars, because
I'm gonna laugh.
My clients make fun of me. I'm like, but I always come back to them because they're sort of the simplest ones out there. There are a lot of different brands of those kind of bars, but a lot of them have junk in them. But, you know, Lara bars are literally just fruit and nuts and nothing else for the most part. So I always have those with me when I travel, and, you know, and just, like, you know, portable fruit, like, you know, apples and bananas, and I always have bags of nuts, that kind of stuff. I sort of load up on those in my suitcase. And what else do I bring with me? portable exercise, right? So for me, at least, I get really cranky if I don't move my body in some way. So if I'm going to be somewhere that I can run, I always bring my running shoes. But if that's not possible, which in some places it's just not, I am a big fan of a website called Yoga Glow. It's just Yoga, G-L-O, and they have an app where you can, well, first of all, they have, like, hundreds of video yoga classes that you can stream online, but you can also download some of your favorite classes to your iPad or whatever so that you don't even have to be connected to the Internet to do that. So that's another thing that I really like. And then one other thing I always bring with me is earplugs because I'm a really light sleeper, and sleep is super, super important for health, obviously. So those are kind of some, you know, four or five things that I always have with me.
Those are great tips. I'm going to try that leafy green chocolate powder.
Oh my God, I love it.
I find it hard too especially a lot of places, you can get safe apples, but it's a lot harder to get good leafy greens. I mean, that's one of the first things you can't necessarily eat. It's hard to wash, it's hard to clean, or they just don't grow so well in a lot of parts of the world. And that's the first thing I think in the diet to go, even if you can eat salads where you are. Usually they're not leafy green salads. So that's a good call.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, that's the first thing, you're right. It's the first thing that goes is the fresh vegetables when you travel in countries that just,
Where you can't, or if you can get it, what you're getting for vegetables aren't leafy greens. You can have like peppers or things like that, but they don't generally have it. So that's a, I'm going to have to give that one a go.
it's
chocolate
awesome.
Flavor.
I mean, because all it is, it's freeze-dried greens. You know,
which
they
is awesome.
They freeze-dry them, they flash freeze them, and then they, you know, turn them into a powder. So, you know, it's as close as you can get, I think, to the good stuff. So
what is
chocolate?
And chocolate, which you can't go wrong with, right? Who doesn't love chocolate? So what are some of the biggest pitfalls that you see people make? You've touched on a few things, but like, what are some of the biggest pitfalls you think, or that you see people make, for kind of feeling good, staying healthy, staying grounded, when they're traveling, when they're on the road?
Yeah, well, I think definitely is the first one is just not planning ahead. And again, I always have to stress that I am not about, like, ultimate control on a trip. That's no fun. But, like, just thinking about where you're going and what is going to be available to you or what's not going to be available to you, just that little bit of pre-planning, I think, it's just really helpful. So that's definitely what most people just don't kind of think that far in advance. I'm a planner, so that's just in my nature, but, I don't know, other pitfalls, I guess probably just sort of assuming that they're not going to be able to make any, healthy choices and just kind of letting it all go and just not even bothering to do anything. And then, they end up sick on their vacation or something, you know, there's a fine line, I think, between relaxing and having a nice time on a trip and doing what you need to do to take care of yourself. And often, especially if you're traveling with other people, I think women in particular, we're sort of natural caregivers, so we tend to put everyone else first. That just, it never works. You end up sick. And you can't take care of anyone else either. So, I think those are some of the things that I see a lot of my clients do.
One thing that I've noticed is that oftentimes, you know, at least in my life when I travel, and some of my friends and traveling partners and folks that I take on tours, that it seems it's easier to do a lot of these healthy things that you've touched on here when we have a routine, where it's easy to develop a routine, and then you go and travel and your routine just gets completely destroyed because your body clock's off, you're traveling at different times, you're on the road or you're in a different place or just, you're out of that routine. Or do you have any tips that you've developed on how people can kind of how women can quickly reestablish a new routine when they're on the road to kind of help make sure they hit some of these things, or they can help establish some new quick patterns to take care of themselves, even if it's not to the same extent they did it at home. But especially for people who are routine people, any tips or ideas on how they can get some new patterns developing when they're traveling?
Yeah, that's a great question. I never really thought about that. But what I do, so for me, when I travel, the mornings are like sacred. Like I guard mornings with my life. Like, you know, no matter where I am, even if I have to get up a little bit earlier, if I'm, you know, meeting people for breakfast or something, I make sure that I have enough time in the morning to get up and do a little bit of exercise in my, you know, hotel room or wherever it is that I'm staying. And I usually, you know, meditate for 10 minutes or something because it just makes me feel really grounded no matter where I am. So that absolutely has to happen. And then seriously, the greens powder, it's all about the greens powder. I mean, so I think that the answer is, you know, you have to just make a choice that you're going to have, whether it's mornings or evenings or whatever, that you're going to have like two or three things that, you know, make you feel grounded. Again, for me, those are the three things, the meditation, exercise, and the greens. They're probably different for everyone, but just figure out what those non-negotiables are, and make them happen, you know, and, you're going to be better off if you can sort of carve out that, even if it's just, you know, a few minutes to yourself.
No, I think that's a great advice. Kind of plan that into the trip ahead of time,
yeah,
for people that, I guess, are planners. Or, you know, and like you said, find those non-negotiables that you're not going to let slide and prioritize that.
Yeah, you just have to figure out what they are. And, like, you know, having more than, like, three makes it hard, right? So, like, just pick three. Just three things that you know. I call it, you know, self-care triage, right? It's the same thing that happens when we're super busy at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, like, my life is crazy right now. I'm in the middle of, you know, a product launch at work or whatever it is. And I know my self-care is going to slip, so what are the three things that I have to do? And, you know, if you can just do those for that period of time, you're going to be better off on the back end. And I think it's the same thing with travel.
And so one big component of travel, obviously, is flying. And that seems to be one of the biggest ways to make yourself awful or sick or just feeling like you're not starting your trip well between the, you know, circulated air and flying it, being that the cabins are pressurized to 6,000 feet and the terrible food and the, you know, lack of being able to get a lot of water and a lot of nutrition and all the, you know, and if you're flying internationally, there's free alcohol and just it seems to be this whole thing designed that's going to, you know, throw you off to start your trip. What sort of things have you found to be particularly useful when flying to kind of not get hit so hard in terms of either getting sick or just feeling worn out by the time you reach your destination?
Yeah, for sure. Well, again, I'm gonna say it a million times. First thing is just, you know, the weeks leading up to your trip, just you like step it up with the self-care so that your body and your immune system are ready for that flight, especially if it's a long one. But, you know, once you're there, you know, I always carry my own water. It's never enough for the whole flight, but at least gives me some extra in addition to what they're giving you on the flight. And, you know, airlines are better about that now than they used to be. I feel like they're, you know, much more vigilant about making sure people have water, but always carry your own water too. And it's funny that you brought up alcohol because, yeah, you got to stay away from the alcohol. It totally dehydrates you.
Especially if you're flying in business class and they start you off with like a glass of sparkling wine or champagne. Here you go. Welcome to business class.
It's terrible. It's like especially on some of Cathay Pacific, for example, like with the free, it's free. I mean, even in coach, it's like, you know, it's like there's some airlines that you, it's hard, much harder to turn it down. But if you're concerned, if you're someone who, you know, who does get sick from that, then that you gotta stay away from the alcohol. And then, you know, just like what I was saying earlier, like bring snacks and bring your own meals if you can. Like, you know, if I have layovers, in airports that are even remotely decent, I mean, most airports have terrible food, options, but you can always find like, you can often find a few things that you can piece together, you know, for a meal that's still better than what the airlines have. And in the U.S. at least, believe it or not, like Starbucks is one of the first places I go in airports because they often have this sort of prepackaged, you know, like salads and stuff, mm-hmm. Which are great to take on the plane. And then the other thing I would say is just, well, actually two other things. One is make sure you stand up and move around, especially on long flights. And you can even, you know, do some like yoga stretches in the aisle. Like, I don't even care. Like, if people think I'm weird, fine. Like, I've just sort of passed that at this point.
Yeah.
Like, just do whatever I need to do to feel okay. And then the last thing is, believe it or not, it's not even the, from what I understand, it's not even the air that where you're more likely to pick up like a bug or something. It's the tray tables and like the armrests and all the surfaces that germs apparently live on longer. So if you're concerned about that, you can bring, you know, sort of like alcohol wipes or whatever, and just wipe down the tray table and your armrests. And apparently that cuts back quite a lot on your chances of picking something up.
No, those are some great tips. And I think that's a great point about the making sure that you wash your hands and you wipe things down, because it's so easy to take a flight and then show up at your destination sick, and taking care of yourself beforehand, because it seems like usually people I talk to, by the time they get sick, they're usually sick on the flight, which means they were getting sick 3 days earlier.
Right.
When they were stressed out running around trying to get everything ready to head out on their trip, and then the flying makes it a whole lot worse, and then you end up, you know, landing your destination with a sinus infection or flu.
Yeah,
and I've definitely been there myself, so I think that's a great point. Now, are you a fan of bringing medication with you, or do you buy it in country? I think this is one of the great, like, battle royales in the travel industry, because some people say, you know, buy everything at your destination they've got. Then other people like me say, but you always get sick at the most inconvenient time when, like, you know, pharmacies are closed for 24 hours and you have to take a 3-day train ride. And so where do you kind of fall on the spectrum of what's in your kind of little like medical wellness kit that you take with you? And are there any great sort of all natural or quote unquote alternative medicine type things that you found really great to bring with you? So it's kind of a 2-part question.
Huh. Yeah, that's an interesting question. Well, you've done a lot more international travel than I have, but the international travel that I have done, I do bring the medications with me. I mean, if we're talking about things like, you know, Cipro, for example,
exactly.
Like, you know, yeah, like I bring that with me. I bring, you know, Imodium with me, although I bought that stuff in country too. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, if I didn't have, what I needed, but I like to be prepared if you haven't already figured that out.
I'm with you.
I'm much more likely to bring it with me. And as far as like, you know, the sort of natural remedies and stuff, I mean, I think everyone, you know, like the emergency packets and the, what's the other one called? There's another, I can't remember what it's called, but there's
airborne?
Another one that's similar. Yes, airborne.
Yes.
Like all that stuff. Like, you know, I mean, sure. Like this, it's probably not going to hurt you. I don't really know if it, actually has an effect, but, you know, there's some people who swear by it. So mm-hmm. My attitude is if it makes you feel better, then take it.
Exactly.
Right? Like,
yeah.
If it's not going to hurt you, because all that stuff it just has a bunch of vitamin C in it for the most part, which just, you know, if your body doesn't use it, you just pee it out. It's not so, you know.
Whenever you don't need leaves.
Like it uses what it needs and, you know, whatever. So, but yeah, I don't really know of any, I don't think if I have heard of anything recently that I think is, again, it's all about the greens powder. I'm like,
I might have to try the greens powder.
I'm like, that's the magic stuff. That's it.
That's all natural.
Like greens.
Yeah, that's natural, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Because I think there's, you know, especially you talked about, just diet seems to be the thing that throws people off so much. And so, which is why I asked about sort of some of the healthier, quote unquote, all natural things that you've seen. I think the greens can be a great thing for folks, especially if they're going to somewhere where their diet is going to dramatically change from what they eat at home. That can be a great option.
Well, and when I travel, like, I love food. I mean, the reason I do what I do for a living is because I love food, and it always makes me very sad when women in particular have sort of an adversarial relationship with food and they just don't find any joy in it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I travel, I eat my way through countries because I love trying all these awesome new foods. I just know what my kind of limits are. Like, you know, the more you start to kind of tune in to your own body, and that's kind of what I teach people, is like how to tune in so that you know kind of what your limits are and can like, okay, I'm going to have this and I'm going to enjoy it, but I know that if I go past this certain point and, you know, or if I eat this one thing, it's just not worth the, it's just not worth the effect that it has later. You know, but that comes with experience, and you know, again, the worst thing would be if you didn't enjoy your trip and didn't have all these awesome foods that you can't get back home. That's, for me, that's one of the major points of travel.
Absolutely.
Is to eat all of that stuff.
So without giving away kind of everything that you do, are there a couple tips that you could tell our listeners that of ways women can start to tune into their own body, their own cycles, their own rhythms?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's I think the biggest thing is, well, on a practical level, I'll give you this. This is actually one very practical exercise that I do with a lot of my clients. It's called the breakfast experiment. It's just what it sounds like. But it's a very good way to, if you're not someone who's ever thought about how food affects your mood, you know, and your energy level and that sort of thing, it's a good way to start tuning into that. And so the idea is that you just pick a 5-day period and you eat something different for breakfast every day. And the idea is that, you know, some mornings you eat maybe a carb-heavy breakfast like oatmeal, and some days you eat a protein-heavy breakfast like eggs. Some days you have a mix of those things, so maybe one morning you have some yogurt with fruit, maybe one morning you have a bowl of cereal, maybe one morning you have some, you know, vegetables, which, you know, most people in this country don't tend to associate with breakfast, but just try it, see how your body reacts. And then you write down how you feel just after you ate it, what your hunger level is, what your mood is, what your energy level is, and then how you feel again 2 hours later. As simple as that. And so you start to tune into like, okay, what breakfast makes me feel my best? And because you're only focused on one meal, it's a good way to just start that process of tuning in a little bit to how food affects you.
That's a great tip.
It's a fun little experiment.
Yeah, practical way. And I'm sure because it's first thing in the morning, you haven't had a bunch of other foods that could throw it off.
Exactly. So you get a little bit more clear on like, you know, okay, well that, there's a bit more of a direct correlation between mm-hmm. what you ate and how you feel in that case, yeah.
So I take it you're a big proponent of breakfast?
I am. But not for the reasons you might think, because actually there have been some recent studies that kind of debunked the whole, you know, basically, we used to think that people who ate breakfast were better able to maintain weight or were better able to lose weight, and some more recent studies have actually debunked that. But I like breakfast for a couple of reasons. One is that I think the ritual of it is a nice way to kind of start your day. And from a stress management perspective, if you can carve out that time to like actually sit down and eat breakfast, it changes the way you move through your day. So that's part of it. And I also just cannot be convinced that, I don't even care about the studies anymore, but I just can't be convinced that it doesn't affect what you put in your mouth later in the day mm-hmm. if you fast for more than 12 hours, basically, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway. And the other thing is, every client I've ever had who did not eat breakfast regularly when they started working with me and then started eating it again, their energy level just went through the roof. Like, I've just seen it happen so many times that I'm pretty convinced that that breakfast is really important.
So in terms of, you know, providing our listeners with resources so they can dig a little deeper about, you know, healthy eating, healthy attitudes in terms of both travel but the rest of their life, like you talked about, you know, it's something that isn't going to be exclusive to just the trip, but it definitely ripples the rest of their life. They can go check out your website and all the resources. Are there any books or other places that you particularly like or can recommend to give them additional reading, research?
Yeah, that's a good question. What do I like right now as far as books? Well, yeah, definitely check out my blog. There's, you know, I write about all kinds of different things, not just about food, but there's lots of stress management stuff there and several articles about travel specifically. But books that I like, well, I'll give you this. A lot of people ask me how I feel about, like, cleanses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big fan of any kind of extreme cleanse or extreme diets, but the one book that I consistently recommend to people who are interested in it, kind of exploring, you know, how their body reacts to stuff, is a book called it's called Clean. And it was written, I don't know, it's been a while. It was originally written at least over 10 years ago, but it's by a doctor in New York. What is his name? Alejandro Junger. But if you just go to, I think it's just cleanprogram.com. There's a whole website that talks about the program and the dietary sort of theory behind it. And I think it's kind of an interesting, again, a potential way to experiment with how your body reacts to different foods. And then, actually, here's another random book that I'll give you another that has nothing to do with food that I'm reading right now that's a little bit esoteric, but I really am enjoying it. It's called The Untethered Soul.
Hmm.
And it really is very much about mindfulness and being able to kind of detach from our emotions in this, not detach from them in a bad way, but to not get sort of so wrapped up in what goes on in the chatter that goes on in our minds, which to me is, you know, a great way to sort of manage stress. Like if you can just developing that mindfulness, and for the women that I work with, stress management is a really important piece of becoming that vibrant person again that they have kind of lost touch with.
Great. Those are, I think, two great starting points. And like you mentioned, too, listeners can tune in on your blog or check out your blog to find out both about travel, mindfulness, and – or not, how to – sorry, maybe I'll let you explain again what's on your blog. I think I just murdered it.
It's fine. My blog, I write about all kinds of stuff. So, you know, but the bottom line is anything that allows you to sort of step into – your more vibrant self, you know, because I just really believe that every woman is full of energy and vibrancy, and often we just kind of lose it behind layers of stress and life, and sometimes under layers of, you know, physical weight. And so what I write about is all of the different pieces of our lives and how they affect that. So,
wonderful. And yes. And the link again is, just in case they tune
yeah,
in.
Yeah, so it's laradalch.com, LARADALCH.com, and there's a link to the blog from there.
Excellent. I'll also make sure to put that below the podcast, so folks that are listening should be able to find it right there on the podcast for easy linking, and we'll also have the podcast on Arcade Adventures blog, so it'll be a few places for folks to make sure that they can find and check out all your great work. Well, thank you so much, Laura, for all the tidbits, information. I'm definitely going to go get myself some of that wonderful chocolate green powder stuff for my next trip. Give it a whirl. I think that's going to be a wonderful tip, as well as all the other great ideas that you have for folks. And anyone who's listening has a question for Laura or something else you would like us to address on Arcade Adventures about staying healthy when traveling, definitely shoot me an email at Genevieve@ArcadeAdventures.com, and I can pass on to Laura, and we can have her kind of chat a bit more in the future about kind of traveling and staying healthy and how women can live a more healthier, sort of centered lifestyle.